Well, tonight we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 18. You know, on Sunday evening we talked about Crispus, and we looked at this man and his faith, his fortitude, the example he left us to follow. And it's interesting to note that after this occasion we read of, you know, Paul and what the Lord spoke to him. Paul had been speaking the word very boldly with courage. He had been facing opposition from the Jews because they were blaspheming. They didn't believe what Paul was saying, so he turned to the Gentiles, just a handful. Cornelius, his household, do receive the word, and then some of the Gentiles as well. But it's interesting because here, after Paul has so boldly proclaimed the word, salvation has come to some here in Corinth. We see that the Lord sees the need to encourage him to remain true and to be faithful and to not give up or be afraid. Because notice what is said here. Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. So, success has been enjoyed in Corinth. But in order for success to be continued, in order for good to be maintained, and these newly added souls to be grounded in the truth, Paul needed some exhortation, some encouragement. Don't be afraid. Keep doing what you're doing. Because God says to him, "I have many souls in this city. Others will also, in like manner, hear and respond." But as we think about these words of the Lord, there are words here that we would do well to consider and to be encouraged by, even exhorted by. Because often it's the case in our own service to the Lord that we can be doing things with success and with courage, but things can change. Human nature is that way. We can face something that then causes us to be a little hesitant for some reason. And now what we were once saying, we now are more reserved about. And we might not be so courageous to go forth and continue what we've been doing. We might look to go to another city, go somewhere else, not continue to do what we're doing among those who we have been working with. Fear of some sort can creep into our hearts. And thus what would happen is that the Word of God would be hindered from accomplishing what it is capable of doing. So that's why God says to Paul here, do not be afraid. Fear is something that Satan uses against us. Fear causes good work to be left undone. Fear causes soul-saving words to go unspoken. And so God says to Paul in this vision, do not be afraid. We have to take those words to heart because there are people in our neighborhoods, there are members of our extended family that still need to be reached with the truth of God's Word. Sometimes fear keeps that from happening. We cannot be afraid to do what God has commanded us to do. In fact, we know that we're held accountable for the good news that we're expected to proclaim. It must be done. Or even the warnings that must be sounded against people in sin. It can even be members of the family of Christ here, members of the church. We cannot be afraid to do what God wants us to do, what we're required to do, because, again, souls are at stake, even our own soul, because we are servants of the Lord. that serving this great King of Kings have work, tasks, responsibility that He has given to us. He has gone away on a journey. He will come back again, and then He will bring us all before Him, and we will have to give account. That's something that we must consider. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, the Scripture says. And so we have to be a people who have a godly sort of fear in the sense of fearing God, but not fearing man. As God says to Paul here, do not be afraid. He's talking about don't be afraid of men, but instead, what does He say? Speak and do not keep silent. This is the command of God specifically here to Paul, but we know the same applies to all of God's people because the message must be spoken. Again, in many different situations, souls inside the body, souls outside the body, need us to talk to them, to speak to them, convey the truth in love, help them to come closer to God or to turn to Him even initially. But this is an occasion where we can see clearly that if Paul rejected this command that came to him from God, what would be his condition before God? God says, don't keep silent. Paul says, I just can't do it. Would he not be in sin? Isn't it true that sometimes it's actually sinful to be silent? We need to think about that truth. But here's the thing to keep in mind. The words that are explicitly spoken to Paul here are words that elsewhere are also conveyed in a general sense and that are true for all of God's servants for all time. God says to Paul, verse 10, the Lord says, I am with you. I am with you. This is what Jesus said after He gave the Great Commission. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So even to the end of the age isn't only specifically limited to those people of that time. In other words, what He's saying is to all of My disciples who will serve Me, I have spoken these words and I will continue to be with My disciples who go into all the world till I come again. I will always be with My disciples, with My followers. And we need to keep that truth, that promise in our hearts, because knowing that the Lord has said He'll always be with us will help us to have courage, not be afraid, but speak the things that give people hope of eternal life. That needs to be encouraged from a young age, young Christians. Be encouraged that the Lord is with you. Doesn't matter if you're a young Christian or an older Christian, the Lord speaks to His disciples and He says, I'm going to be with you. So when you're at school and you face situations where you have to take a stand, or maybe you have an opportunity to speak to someone, the Lord says, I will be with you. Or you're retired already, the Lord says, I'll be with you. You may be retired from some work, but as long as you're on this earth, you have a lot of other work to do, the Lord's work. And He needs you to do that work. He needs you to be active in His cause, saving souls, fighting the good fight, all those things, because He will be with us and He will bless us, and good things happen when churches are filled with people who believe that promise, I am with you. Here He says to Paul, no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. God is saying to Paul, the Lord says, He is going to keep him in His care. God providentially has the power today as well to watch over us and keep us. When we have missionaries in various parts of the world and we pray for their safety and pray for their success, what we're praying for is that God would, with His providential hand, keep them in His care and watch over them. What that means is God will actively have a part in protecting them. It's not going to be a sign, a wonder, a thing that is miraculous in nature, but that doesn't limit God's power to, in an unseen way, protect and care for those who are serving Him. And so we continue prayers on behalf of saints, workers of God, one another. And we believe that God has power to watch over and care for us as we work in His cause. Think about that statement, I have many people in this city. As you think about Maryville, Alcoa, Blount County. Who knows how many God has? But in order for them to be reached, it's going to take words. It's going to take outreach. It's going to take our efforts, right? So we have to do all that we can to find those in this city or these cities or this county that are willing to hear and then willing to obey. Our job is to sow the seed. It's going to fall on all kinds of ground, and thus the results are not always going to be what we would like to see, but God's word, we're told, will not return to Him void. We're also told that there is good ground to be found. And believing that, we know that this great work before us is our responsibility and our duty. Paul says, or the word says concerning Paul, he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. As long as we are here on this earth, we don't know how long we're going to be here. Do we have a year? Maybe. Maybe not. But whatever time we have left for us on this earth or here in this place, we're going to serve God with all of our hearts, soul, mind, strength, and fulfill His will as Jesus sought to do all of His days upon this earth, so that at the last of His life He said, "It is finished." He had completed what He came to do. We should be able each night that we pillow our heads to be able to say, "It is finished. Today I've done what I could do." And look forward to each day as a day to make the most of for the Lord. Paul was not harmed, as we saw in the following verses. They took him. He was brought before the judgment seat. But God cared for him. The proconsul was not going to listen to these Jews, and he drove them from the judgment seat. And instead of Paul being beaten, Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, was actually taken by the Greeks, and he was beaten. God fulfilled His word. No harm came to Paul in his labor here in Corinth at this time. And so we remember the great good that God has done for us. We remember that it's a good that God wants us to show others how He can do it for them. It takes our words, takes our work, takes our example, and it takes our trust and faith in God that He will, as He said, be with us. The Christian life is the greatest one to live. It's the life where we are laboring together with God. Are you a part of the family of God tonight? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ to have your sins forgiven and forgotten by God? You can turn to Him tonight in faith, believing with all of your heart that Jesus is God's Son. Turn away from your sins in repentance. Confess your faith that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and then be baptized so that your sins can be washed away in His blood. If you've done those things as a child of God, reflect upon your life. Are you fearlessly serving God, fulfilling His will, doing your Christian duty? Have you wandered away into sin? Have you neglected that which is your responsibility? If you need to change your life, tonight's a time to do it. If you have things that you need to bring before the Lord, and we can help you with those things tonight, we'd be happy to do so as we stand and as we sing.